The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, December 28th, and we are live on the YouTube channel. Joining me to break down Saints Dolphins Monday Night Football from a gambling, maybe, and a betting perspective. And we'll see if we sprinkle some DFS chatter in. Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy? Merry Christmas.
What's going on? Merry Christmas. How was
Happy
your holiday?
Holidays, buddy. How was your Christmas?
It was good. Can't complain. So how about was yours?
It was good until my son started puking all over the place on the way home yesterday.
Oh, well, that's good. I should have brought it down. My mom got me a Pick Six mug.
Did she buy it?
I think she bought it. Oh, I mean, I didn't buy it, so
bad. I mean, it's like, hey, I got you a mug of the podcast you're on.
I was like, hey, thanks, mom.
Did you pay for that? Like, did you call Debo? He hook it up. I've told Debo he needs to step it up and get you some gear.
Oh, wow.
Debo told me to F off and never call him again. I'm kidding. Anyway, let's talk about this game. So, obviously, the biggest story here is that Taysom Hill placed on the COVID list and will be out for this game, which means that we are going to have Ian Book starting for the New Orleans Saints. Rookie Ian Book coming in out of Notre Dame, playing for the Saints. We have seen this line go from New Orleans -3 or -3.5 as a result of all that news to the Dolphins -3. The line is now juiced to -120, which means it looks like we're going to get Dolphins -3.5 maybe, or it's also possible that it sits at -3, -120 with Vegas forcing anyone who wants to bet the Dolphins, which is going to be the majority of people, I would guess, because no one wants to back Ian Book on Monday night in his debut, force him to pay -120 on the juice to do it. Because I do think if they go to 3.5, there'll probably be some buyback on the Saints. And although, you know, Sully, maybe this is one of those games where, and we've seen this a lot this year, where there's massive COVID implications. The line sits and sits and sits and sits. You know, big move when the news happens, but then right like an hour or two before game time, it just starts getting steamed and it closes. And we've seen this, we've seen these lines move like, you know, 3 or 4 points on game day where it was a spot, you know, like the Bills are 7-point favorites, and all of a sudden the Bills are 11-point favorites. The crossing key numbers, all of that. It's a weird year, and maybe we see that for the Dolphins. What's your sort of expectation for where this line goes, and how are you thinking about betting this game?
Well, like you said, well, I mean, it's one of those things, especially now over these last few weeks, where we don't really even know who's going to be playing in these games half of them until right before kickoff. So if you're anybody who's carrying around a significant amount of capital going into this game, which I think a lot of the Sharks in Vegas are, obviously, that the movement that we would typically see throughout the week is getting like hyper centralized into the final few minutes of this game once everybody knows who in fact is going to be playing. So that's why I think you see a lot of that movement pretty close to kickoff there. I still like the Dolphins in this one, and it's for the reasons that you were just kind of highlighting there too. It's hard to trust what the Saints are going to be with their fourth quarterback of the season in a guy that Ian Book, it's not like he's a first round pick waiting in the wings like Trey Lance, and you're just kind of, you know, there's a quarterback in front of him that's kind of just blocking him from trying to play it's a fourth rounder, right? It's fourth round pick in Ian Book out of Notre Dame. It's not one of those scenarios where he's knocking at the door and he's trying to, you know, he's pushing to play. It's a hectic situation for New Orleans, and it's not the ideal situation for any rookie quarterback to come into, especially when you're playing under somewhat short notice. I don't know how quickly they knew that Taysom Hill wasn't going to be ready to play in this game, so he's had some time to prepare. But ultimately, I lean on the team that has the veteran experience or just NFL experience. Ian Book hasn't had a meaningful NFL snap in his life to this point. So to me, I'm just leading and I'm laying down the field goal and going with the Dolphins.
All right. So I've got an interesting little conundrum here that I'll float by you right now since, you know, whatever. I mean, if you're in the chat, tell me what you think you would do. In my season-long picks league that I do with like all of my friends, and you're invited if you ever want to play in the Sully, Mr. Masterlock. I am currently tied for, there are 9 people who correctly, there's a prize for winning each week, and there's a prize for obviously the end of the season. There are 9 people who picked 10 games correctly this week, which is pretty insane. I'm at 9 games correctly picked along with 4 other people. These spreads, it's on CBS Sports. So the spreads lock on Tuesday. No matter what happens the rest of the week, it doesn't fluctuate throughout the week. And so the spread is Saints minus 3.5. I am currently 4 back of the season long lead. And I originally liked the Saints. I like the Saints right now. I like the Saints getting 3.5 if it moves that way. I like the Saints getting 3. I feel like the Saints are somehow going to pull off this win. But I'm finding it very difficult not to take Miami plus 3.5 in this spot in the picks league because it's 6.5 points of value. It'd be insane to turn that down. But I do think there's probably leverage against everyone above me, both for the week and for the season, if I take the Saints minus 3.5. But at the same time, if the Saints win by 3 and I'm right, I'm going to be furious that I didn't take that leverage. And I don't want to throw away, at this point, you know, any like one pick is massive for the season. So I don't want to throw away that sort of value by going with Saints minus 3.5 when I could have gotten the Dolphins plus 3.5 and it's a clear cut. You take the Dolphins situation. You know what I'm saying? Like what?
Yeah.
Like the strategy here is a little difficult.
Yeah. I wouldn't get too cute on that one. It seems like the Dolphins might be the play there. And again, I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, with all of that, but ultimately I do like the Dolphins in this scenario. I mean, you look at, you know, I obviously mentioned Ian Book, but you look over this winning streak that they've had, you can admittedly say it's kind of a soft winning streak. The opponents that they've been playing and been beating up on haven't been particularly good, but the Saints, they're having a 4th string quarterback. So they kind of fit the mold on the teams that they've been beating up over these last 6 weeks. And the Saints over that stretch, they've allowed the 2nd fewest yards per play in the NFL. And if you're going up against, again, a rookie quarterback, when you have the type of defense that you do, or at least the secondary that you do, 5th lowest passing yards per game over that stretch, to me, it's just one of those scenarios where I don't know if Ian Book's going to be ready. He's a virtual unknown. He can come in, and this could be been a weird week. I mean, the Texans blew out the Chargers this week, so who knows what could happen. But ultimately, I'm going to go with the known versus the unknown in terms of the Dolphins defense as opposed to Ian Book.
Here's my thing on the Dolphins too. And I know that people who listen to this podcast are sick and tired of me saying that they are hashtag fraudulent or quote unquote fraudulent or quote unquote frauds. And I mean, maybe they're not. If they win, if they beat the Saints, they will have won 7 games in a row. They'll be the number 7 seed in the playoffs and we will have to take them seriously. Oh, Diva, don't ask that question in chat. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, smash that like button. If you're listening on Spotify, go ahead and use that 5-star rating when you get done listening. But look at the teams they've beaten. The Texans, who, I agree, beat the Chargers yesterday. That's fine. The Texans stink. They beat the Texans 17-9. They beat the Ravens 22-10 on that Thursday night game where Lamar and the offense didn't show up. And the Ravens are sort of starting to look like, you know, just with all their injuries and all they're dealing with, I mean, they might not even be a playoff team. They beat the Jets 24-17. They smoked the Panthers 33-10. Congratulations. The Panthers are a bottom 5 team. They beat the Giants 20-9. They beat the Jets 31-24. None of these wins are impressive. I mean, maybe the Ravens win is impressive on a short week with Lamar and company hungover coming off a massive win. The Saints are starting Ian Book, and I get it that he is a rookie, but he is a rookie who runs the ball really well and is sort of like maybe a Taysom Hill clone with a better passing skill set. Pete Prisco says he watched him in training camp and thought he looked pretty good. Said he watched some preseason tape, and I think he's sort of high on him. I mean, the Saints defense is way better than any defense that they faced in that stretch. None of those teams that we showed, except maybe the Panthers, have any semblance of defense whatsoever. And now the Saints have a very good defense at home, holiday crowd, underdogs, and the Saints are just as desperate, if not more desperate, than the Dolphins to win this game. I don't know, man. I feel I like the Saints plus three. Tom in the chats asks, is this a donkey under game? Seems too obvious. So anyway, I like the Saints plus three as the bet. I will probably end up being a wuss and taking the Dolphins plus 3.5 in my picks league, just because there's also probably a couple people in the picks league ahead of me who it's the holidays. They haven't changed their pick, you know, forgot to change their pick or didn't think they could change their pick on Monday, which you can, as the rules of this league allow you to. So, you know, I'll probably try and take that value.
And I'll just tell you this really quickly. I know you referenced Saints at home. We've historically said that the Caesars Superdome has been, you know, just a great place for the Saints. Not so much as of late. 1-4 against the spread in the last 5 home games. Something to take note of.
That is certainly worth taking note of, because we're talking about a Saints team that in that stretch, I bet that one is probably the victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Halloween when Jameis Winston got hurt. They lost outright to the Falcons. They lost outright to the Bills and didn't cover as big dogs. They got lost by 10 to the Cowboys. Yeah, they have not been very good at home. Oh, God, they lost to the Giants in OT2 with Jameis. Whew, they've been bad at home. You're right. So, yeah, I mean, but the Dolphins are...
But the Dolphins, again, we don't really know what they are. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's as much as we're saying, you know, Ian Book's an unknown, you know, a team that has 6 wins in a row, it's really not that strong of a 6 wins, as we just highlighted. This is admittedly a tough game, even though, again, it probably shouldn't be. Yeah.
The total is 37.5. It's to Tom's question earlier in the chat, you know, like 37.5, what do you do with that? It looks like it might try and creep up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it can't crater much more.
Yeah, because it was at 36.5, I think, as of maybe the last night, maybe early this morning. Oh, really? It's starting to move up. Yeah.
Okay. I saw 37. I never saw the 36.5. But
yeah,
I mean, I would be maybe more interested, you know, I mean, like what I would be more interested in potentially taking the over here. I'd like 37, but you take, or maybe, you know, even if you take 37.5, you take the over. And then cut and hope for an early score from either one of these teams, probably would be New Orleans with some kind of trickeration. And then you come back and bet a live under, and you've got yourself a window where you hope it hits and you can't lose. Now, if neither team scores for the first 5 or 10 minutes of the game, you're not going to be able to, you know, can't keep chasing that live over. Don't do that. I just sort of, you know, I tend to think that. Yes, to answer Tom's question, yes, this looks like a donkey under, in the sense that how are these teams going to score? Well, Alvin Kamara is insanely good. Sean Payton is a great coach who can dial up some stuff for Ian Book. And, you know, Tua Tagovailoa has played pretty well over the last month plus. Jalen Waddle looks like a budding superstar. And the Dolphins do have the talent on offense to jailbreak some stuff or to, you know, move the ball. I don't think they're going to run the ball. I think they need to pass the ball against the Saints. They should be able to do that. You know, I don't know. It's finding your way to 40 points seems tough, but you could get, you know, 21-17, and that still covers the over here.
Right. I mean, listen, like you said, they have playmakers that if you get the ball in their hands, even in New Orleans, I mean, if Ian Book is able to just get the ball in Alvin Kamara's hands, there's a chance that he can go for 7 every time he touches the ball. I mean, it's totally, totally doable. My biggest concerns are really when you look at the defenses for both of these teams. The Saints rank number 4 in DVOA coming into this game. The Dolphins rank number 12 in DVOA coming into this one. So when that number 12 DVOA is going up against a rookie quarterback that's never had a start in the NFL. So it's not the easiest sledding going into this one. Yes, it's a donkey play going under here. I would almost kind of wait and see what this line does. You know, we just talked about it with the spread, really, about how we've seen these numbers move quite a bit going into kickoff. I almost wonder if this gets a little bit higher. Like I said, it's basically come up a full point just pretty much half the day here. I think I saw it earlier this morning, or I did see it last night, so I don't know how much it's, you know, really moved overnight. But ultimately, if this kind of starts to creep up to, you know, 38.5, you know, that's maybe you feel a little bit more comfortable hitting the under as it's starting to go up.
Yeah. I think if you like the underweight, if you like the Saints weight, if you like the Dolphins or the over, you probably need to take it now, just the direction it appears to be moving.
Yeah.
I would also just point out that, again, with the Dolphins, you know, you look at their defense has improved dramatically, and the in terms of yardage allowed, their lowest five totals are since November 7th. But again, it's like the teams they played, the Ravens, the Texans, the Giants, the Jets, and the Panthers, they allowed 304 yards or less total. I mean, it's been a while since they've given up a big yardage game. They gave up 380 to the Jets, which is a ton and really surprising. I just sort of wonder, are the Dolphins, is the Dolphins defense legitimate again, or are we being fooled by a mirage involving this schedule? And we may not know after tonight either.
Right. Because again, you'll just point to, again, just, you know, who knows who is under quarterback? What? Right. You know, it was an Ian Book game against the Saints. It's like, you know, so again, it's tough to really.
Now, if Ian Book shreds the Dolphins, then we have major concerns for Miami's future. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll look at some prop bets for this game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So the props in this game, we have a pretty good selection over on, over on Caesars. Oh, I thought that was a total interception price had gone up on Ian Book. You and I both are on. I like both the interception overs here. Tua over half an interception, -110. Give me that all day long.
Yeah,
I mean the Dolphins' offensive line is not that great, and the Saints' defensive line is a strength. You know, the Saints in their last game did shut out Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I mean, the idea that they just cannot stop Tua and the Dolphins is kind of wild. So I think over Tua interceptions feels like I almost like it better than over Ian Book interceptions, not because it's more likely, but just because it's cheaper and I trust the defense. I think the Saints will minimize what Ian Book is asked to do as much as possible in terms of throwing into coverage where they can. If they get down big, it won't matter. I like the over on. I think we see an interception for both quarterbacks in this game.
Right. I would bet Tua interceptions on the matchup and the play of the quarterback, and I'm betting the over on Ian Book almost on principle, where it's you have a pretty solid defense that has 11 takeaway interceptions on the year, and they're going up against a rookie quarterback that's never played before in the NFL. It's you almost just have to bet that one or at least seriously give it some consideration when you could say, okay, there's a rookie mistake in there somewhere. It has to rear itself at some point or another, or more often than not, that's going to cash, whether it's tonight or whether it's when the next rookie quarterback plays. typically there is a mistake made. Some defensive coordinator kind of just outwits the quarterback for a second, and then again, an interception unfolds. So to me, I like Book. I even like Tua there. I don't have it as one of mine, but I would definitely bet that one too.
And by the way, the Dolphins over this stretch of wins, since their win streak started, 4 turnovers against the Texans by the defense, 2 from against the Ravens, 1 against the Jets, 3 against the Panthers, 1 against the Giants, 1 against the Jets. They are on a 6-game win streak and a 6-game defensive turnover streak. Debo, hit the over on Tua and on Ian Book. I was actually surprised. Over interceptions. You could parlay this. Both guys have an interception plus 212. I don't hate that at all.
Yeah, I love that. That'd
be cash in the first quarter, man.
Yeah, that's a great one. I love that. We can definitely slot that one in for both of us. I think that's an easy one. And for me, I'm looking at 2-2, the under on his passing yards prop. I had it at 231.5 at even money. The Saints, you know, for all their issues that they've been dealing with, and again, I think it's starting to go up a little bit. So, you know, it's 233.5, right? Yeah. And
we're starting to go down, you mean?
It's actually gone up. No, I had it at 231.5, and that's gone up to 233. But for all the Saints issues, whether it's been the COVID or what have you, their secondary, again, as we've kind of highlighted, has been solid. Going back to week 10, only one quarterback has gone over this passing yards prop, or at least the one that I had. It was Josh Allen back in week 12 over this stretch. So basically since week 10, they've averaged quarterbacks with 196 passing yards per game. And Tua has only gone over this number 2 of his last 3 games. So again, it's just to me, I don't feel particularly confident in Tua lighting it up against the Saints. Like you just said, they just shut out Tom Brady last week, and I don't think that Tua is the type of quarterback that's going to be able to carry the Dolphins in this game. I think they'll probably win it, but I don't think it's going to come with Tua absolutely, you know, being a first-round quarterback, lighting up the scoreboard type of performance. It's more that the Saints will lose it than it will be anything that the Dolphins do.
The one concern I would have about going under on Tua is the Saints rush defense is so good and the Dolphins rush offense is not exactly a dominant unit. I mean, they're trotting out, Duke Johnson, Salvin Ahmed. They have Philip Lindsay. I don't know if he's going to play in this game. I mean, the Saints have the number one rush defense by DVOA, and that's after, you know, earlier this year, they were absolutely gashed by the Philadelphia Eagles. So my concern is that while it does make sense that Tua won't have a ton of success against a good defense, he may just have to throw so much that ultimately, you know, he's just going to get over that number on sheer volume. Or you get a Jalen Waddle jailbreak, and it wouldn't be surprising if the Dolphins came out and said, all right, we know they're going to stop the run. They think we're going to try and run and just, you know, make Ian Book win. Let's dink and dunk it all around the place. That would be my only concern about taking the under on that.
Sure.
Is maybe he gets over by virtue of having to throw against the Saints. Man, the Saints defense is really good.
I
like the Saints a lot here.
It's tough. I know. It's one of those things where if it was Simeon in this game, I think this would be completely different outlook. I mean, it's just because you're seeing the fourth quarterback of the year, and it's someone who they didn't even really want to start. I mean, they were asking Drew Brees and Philip Rivers if they wanted to come out of retirement, reportedly, starting Ian Book. So it's a tough spot for New Orleans for sure.
Yeah. The two passing attempt total, by the way, 33.5. So even if he averages, let's see, what do you average, 6 yards per attempt? He needs to go over that if he wants to get 233. Good Lord. I don't want to mess with that prop. I'm just throwing it out there. The Alvin Kamara props is what I'm interested in. They don't actually have a prop up for his receptions yet, which is super annoying. But I would take the over on his receptions probably blindly up to, I don't know. I'm trying to think what I want for this reception. What do we think this reception total will be? 4.5?
I was going to say 4.5, 5.5.
Yeah. Man, that's a 4.5 is a, I guess it's a lot, but maybe not. I mean, how are they not going to use Alvin Kamara? How are they not going to funnel everything through Kamara and just ask him to win this game for them?
Well, this is why I like his receiving yards prop of 24.5 at even money, what I locked in. It's just, I just think that they're going to want to get the ball.
That was on my list too. Over receiving yards, 26.5, right?
Right. Yeah. I just think that they're going to want to get the ball out of Ian Book's hands as quickly as possible. And what better way to do it than pretty easy throws to Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. You know, I was reading, I forget who had it. Apologies for not citing them, but Ian Book really threw to his receiver, his running backs a ton at Notre Dame. So it's just something that he's probably used to a little bit. It's within the Saints offense to design passing plays. You know, Sean Payton's obviously a great head coach. He knows that he wants to put Alvin Kamara in the best spot to score. And he put Ian Book in the best opportunity to succeed. And that is by putting the ball in Alvin Kamara's hands. He's gone over this number 6 out of 10 out of his 10 games played this season. Miami's been pretty good at defending running backs in the passing game out of the backfield, but ultimately it's almost similar to what you were saying with Tua in terms of the passing yards. The volume for Kamara is going to be insane. He already has, I believe, 33-ish% of the total touches for the Saints this season. It's just the amount of volume that he's getting is ridiculous. And so to me, again, with a quarterback that they don't want to put the game in his hands, they're going to want to get it into Kamara as much as possible.
Yeah, I see up to 28.5 by locals. So that's something I think you want to definitely look at getting now rather than waiting on it. It will probably keep drifting up as the Faustino Hernandez asked in the chat, Kamara rushing receiving yards over 89. I do think I like that. It's 90.5 here on Caesars. I mean, yeah, I like that a lot. He should be, I think he gets over 100 rushing receiving yards combined. So
yeah, and so Caesars also has a super boost of Kamara over 99.5 rushing receiving yards plus 200.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. So I like that. Yeah, smash that like button. I do think we see Kamara's just going to be, I mean, think about what this game is setting up to be. The Saints are desperate for a win. They have a good defense. And they have Alvin Kamara. They are going to, I mean, how are they not going to funnel the offense through Kamara and just ask him? Sean Payton just goes to him and say, look, dude, I need you to be superhuman Alvin Kamara in this game. And I think he can respond. You know, that's it's not outrageous to suggest he just has a mammoth game. Maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe it's all like, and that's the thing with the rushing receiving. If, well, I kind of prefer it even to just the receiving, even though the receiving's lower. If he gets, let's say the Saints get a lead, a 10-point lead, they are going to lean into the run game. Let's say the Saints are down by 10. They're going to be forced to throw the ball to Kamara. So by going with the over on total yardage, it gives you a few more outs in the event that the game script, like Kamara should be able to get there, you know, regardless of, he should be able to get to the 90 regardless of game script.
Right, that's game script proof. Again, you can get it in multiple ways. It doesn't matter.
Whereas if it's, you know, you might not get 26.5 receiving yards if they're winning and he hasn't already gotten them. And you might not get 59.5 rushing yards if they're losing and he hasn't already gotten them. So that's where maybe the combo is not a bad idea, even though the math, you know, you got to pay the yardage tax, I guess, to by combining them.
Yeah.
But I don't hate that at all. Any other props that you like in this game?
Yeah, I was looking around just because I was trying to find an over, because you know me, I like just trying to find an over the best way I can. And I was laughing because I almost want John Breach to be on this, because I'm about to do the first ever kicker prop that we've done in these in these pick six Monday night, Thursday night hits that we've done this season. Jason Sanders over total field goals made over 1.5. And there's a few reasons why I like this one. He struggled throughout this season, especially, you know, before December. December's been decent for him, but ultimately it hasn't been a particularly great year for him. But he has hit this number. Let me see. He's hit multiple field goals in 3 of his last 5 games. But the biggest thing for me is that the Saints, they've been particularly strong at stopping teams once they get into the red zone. Yep. They are the number one team in the NFL in fewest touchdowns allowed once a team gets into the red zone. They've only allowed them to score 43% of the time, 20% of the time over the last 3 weeks. So if the Dolphins are even able to get within spitting distance of the end zone, the Saints have shown us already that they're able to bend but not break, which obviously will set up more kicking situations for Sanders. So to me, that one just makes a lot of sense, especially in what we're going to consider a low-scoring game tonight.
Yeah, I like that. I've got over 6.5 points minus 125. What do we have on points for Sanders there?
Let me see.
Yeah, over 6.5. Same thing. I don't hate that either. You know, it's very possible that there's a no touchdown scored in this game. That wouldn't be outrageous. I don't think it happens. I think somebody finds the end zone eventually. And maybe this game goes way over. But I don't know. I tend to think that there's some... So I think both teams will be extremely conservative. You saw what the Saints did against the Buccaneers. They know that they can snuff out Tom Brady's offense, Bruce Arians to Tom Brady's offense, even without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, when they show up on defense. They're not going to try and win this game 31-0. They'd love to, but they're going to try and win this game 12-3 or something like that. Like the way they play this game is going to lend itself to field goals being kicked.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, first touchdown score. I don't think you can do no touchdown scored on Caesars, which is a shame because it actually hit in that Saints-Bucks game, which was just wild. I bet I've got access to it on here. I'm going to see what it is because I bet it is like kind of low. What do you think the no touchdown scored is?
I mean, that's got to be plus 400? 4-1?
Like 40-1? No, 70-1.
71?
It's usually like 150-1.
No, okay, I don't know how, what that
No touchdown scored is like, how many NFL games do you watch where there's no touchdowns?
Right. I'm thinking just this game in particular, but sure.
It feels like a no touchdown score game. Yeah, I don't actually hate 70-1.
Sure.
I got Kamara at plus 550. It's 410 on Caesars. I don't know that you can bet 410, but he is the most likely first touchdown scorer, obviously. Yep. I'm not messing with any of these Dolphins under 10-1. That's just gross.
No.
Like, why is Devontae Parker's 8.5-1? Squeezing the lemon here a little aggressively, Caesars.
Yeah. The only one I think you like it too for me is Gesicki makes some sense at 10-1.
I think 10-1 or better with Gesicki makes a lot of sense. They go to him in the red zone plenty, and you know it'll be tougher for them for two I think to attack to the wide receivers with the way that the Saints play defense. Maybe you can get away with a Gesicki pass there. I've actually got an Ian Book 16-1 here that I really like. He can run. He had over 40 rushing yards per game at Notre Dame, I believe. Scroll down a little bit, Devo, and see if we see Book is probably 11-1 here. That's a little smaller than I would like, but I think you can probably play that. Mark Ingram, 16-1. Don't hate it. Nick Finette's number on Caesars looked pretty good, I thought. 20-1. Ugh.
And he was interesting, too. He was pumped. I know we might not do a ton of DFS here, but he was popping up in a few optimizers there as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to skip. We'll skip DFS. But Durham Smythe, 25-1. I think the tight ends just make a lot of sense here.
Yeah.
Short, trusted routes if they get in the red zone. And then, I mean, I wouldn't mind, I think, Gesicki. And again, I wouldn't even mind hitting Kamara.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting if you can find 5-1 or better, I think Kamara actually makes a lot of sense because just the way that they're going to funnel the offense through him. You could also grab a little Mark Ingram. I see 16-1. Caesars has. For Ingram, 16-1. I don't hate that either. Maybe Kamara has two big plays. It gets him down by the goal line, and they put Ingram in and try to let him rush near the end zone. That wouldn't be shocking at all.
Yeah, not out of the realm of possibility there. For me, Kamara, two or more touchdowns, plus 420, someone who we think is going to get the ball a ton and the volume is going to be there. Multiple touchdowns wouldn't surprise me there. If someone's going to score for New Orleans, it's probably going to be Kamara. So if you can get multiple touchdowns from him at plus 420, that's not too bad.
Yeah. All right. Oh yeah, two touchdowns for Kamara. Not crazy. Two touchdowns for Waddle. What are we doing here?
That one a little crazy.
I mean, who's going to pay? Like, I mean, that's insane. Like, Waddle's going to. Well, how often does Jalen Waddle score two touchdowns? 7.5-1. Come on, Devontae Parker, 2 touchdowns, 10-1. Don't bet on those. 3 or more touchdowns, though. I'm just kidding. Alvin Kamara, 23. I mean, 23-1 to score 3 touchdowns. Ridiculous. Get out of here. All right. That's it for the betting show. We're not going to do DFS, but if you got questions on DFS, you can hit us up on the tweeters at Tyler Sully, at Will Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys after the game live stream recapping Saints and Dolphins on Monday night. See ya.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.